This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
2 weeks ago, Canada Post had issued 72-hour lockout notice to the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. A postal disruption and the breakdown of bargaining seemed imminent. But Canada Post withdrew its lockout notice after the Liberal government sent signals it would not behave like the Harper Conservatives did in 2011. During that last employer lockout at the post office, the Conservative government wrote back-to-work legislation that forced postal workers to go back to work without a new contract. Jennifer Savage is the president of the Vancouver local of the CUPW, the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, and she joins me this morning. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Now, we've been hearing fluctuating reports. A lockout is coming, a lockout is not coming. What do we know about where negotiations stand today?
Well, since they withdrew the lockout notice last Sunday evening, we've pretty much had silence all week, which I'm hoping is a good thing. That means that the parties are talking, and that's exactly what we've wanted all along.
Now, I wanted to ask you about the core issues at the table for negotiation, job security, pensions, and pay equity. Let's start with pay equity. So I understand there's a different pay between rural and suburban and urban workers. So how does that tie into pay equity?
Well, the rural and suburban carriers get paid about 28% less than the urban carriers do. And the differences between the two bargaining units, other than, you know, the fact that we have two different collective agreements, are that the rural and suburban carriers are predominantly women and the urban unit are predominantly male. And we do the same job. So we sort and deliver mail, we deliver parcels. Another difference is the RSMCs use their own vehicles for the most part, and we have vehicles provided for by the corporation.
You said 28%. That's a chunk of change.
Yes, and, we are an arm of the government, and we do meet the test for the pay equity. So it's something that Canada Post needs to keep in mind while we're at the table.
Now, what changes is Canada Post trying to make that affect job security for postal workers?
Well, currently, the members in the urban unit that have 5 years of continuous service have a 40-kilometer protection radius from where they currently work. So if there's essentially the equivalent of downsizing and there's not enough positions anymore, they would have to carry them in an over-complement position until there was somewhere for them to slot into within the 40 kilometers, whereas they want to change the 40-kilometer radius to be the entire province, and you would need 10 years of continuous service in order to have that job security. So if you didn't meet the 10-year criteria, sorry, there's no more job for you in Richmond, but there's one in Williams Lake, and it starts next week.
Well, for most people, what would be the virtual result if next week you were transferred to Williams Lake or Kitimat? Or
for those that didn't have the ability to pick up and move their lives or their family, the option is to resign.
Now, I've heard from retirees at Canada Post that pensions are a central issue here in these negotiations for postal workers. Talk me through what's going on with pensions.
Well, currently we have a defined benefit pension plan. So at the end of it, we know what we are going to get. And they wanted to switch us over to a defined contribution. So it would have been all new hires and then all current members paying in from the date of this new collective agreement on would all be the defined contribution. And that operates more like an RRSP where it's based on market fluctuations and you're not necessarily sure how much you're going to get out of it at the end. When they put their offer on the table, they withdrew the portion where it would be defined contribution for current employees, and it was only going to be the new employees that would have to be paying in to the defined contribution instead of enjoying the defined benefit. And we're all postal workers. we should not have a two-tiered pension plan.
So let me see if I can get my head around that. So it sounds like what you used to have was when you retired, or this would still be the case for people who are retiring on, under the old system, that when you came out, you knew what your payments would be within a certain scope. But now all you know is what you're putting into it.
Yes.
So what's driving that? Like, why wouldn't you have a solid benefit for people who have worked for years and have earned a pension over those years by providing work for their employer?
Well, the employer is saying that the pension plan is in trouble, which isn't actually the case. If Canada Post was to cease to exist at midnight tonight and they had to pay everybody out, then there might be a problem. But we're not going to cease to exist tonight at midnight, and we actually have a surplus in our pension plan. We're fully funded, and we're not in trouble. So I'm not too sure why they're glomming on to the fact that, you know, we may close this evening and we have to pay everybody out, because that's not going to happen with, you know, an arm of the government.
And I think there's a lot of organizations that couldn't pay out if they were to close at midnight of that day. So it doesn't seem like a very valid argument.
True.
Now, Canada Post is headed by CPO Deepak Chopra. How has the post office fared under his watch?
Well, we had 14 years of labor peace before Mr. Chopra came in, and since he has come into the post office, we have had a lockout, the threat of a lockout, and the only 2 years in the last 20 that we've lost money.
Now, he was a Conservative appointee.
Correct. And he was asked to resign. The Liberal government, when they came in, they sent letters to a number of the Harper appointees and asked them to voluntarily step down from their positions. And a number of them did. And Mr. Chopra decided that he wasn't going to.
Is there a way to make sense of that?
Well, I'm not too sure. You know, you were appointed by a previous government. And, you know, if the current government has asked you to leave, I would think that you would probably want to step aside to allow them to appoint their own people. But I guess he figures that, you know, what he's staying the course of his previous mandate, and he's going to stay there until either his term is up or if he gets removed.
Now, on the one hand, Canada Post has said it had said previously it was going to end door-to-door service. And recently, on the other hand, we've heard a proposal from the LEAP Manifesto team to broaden the mandate and use the infrastructure of the post office to offer services like postal banking. And what would that look like?
Well, believe it or not, there are more post offices in the country than Tim Hortons. And we're in pretty much every community across the country. So the infrastructure is already there for us to provide services other than buying stamps, mailing letters and parcels. So in some of the smaller communities around the country, they no longer have a major bank. They don't have another government agency, and they have to travel great distances to be able to do some of the things that we take for granted in an urban area. So if we were to expand into something like postal banking to provide banking services or financial services for those people in the smaller communities, or even expand on some of the government services, pardon me, that we have, you know, through a Service Canada office or something like that down here. You know, currently Canada Post already provides hunting permits, fishing licenses, ID verification, passports, student loans, and things like that. So we could expand into some of the other government services as well. And they also want to look at, you know, maybe providing essentially a hub in some of these smaller communities where people could go, they could utilize the internet, they can do job searches, they can have charging stations for electric vehicles, and maybe get back into delivering of food like we used to do many years ago to bring some of the costs down in some of these communities where they're getting charged ridiculous prices in order to be able to, you know, buy milk and juice and things that, you know, are somewhat reasonably priced in an urban area.
When you look at something like the post office system throughout a country as large and geographically large and with the population dispersed as the way that we do in Canada, you would think that would be sort of a dream infrastructure for somebody to create. So how has Canada Post responded to these innovative ideas?
Well, for the most part, my understanding is at the table it was a flat-out no on everything that we had proposed. And, you know, one of the things we wanted to do, okay, well, maybe you don't necessarily agree with all our ideas, but entertain it, because the infrastructure is there for us to be more than what we are and to utilize what we already have. We also have the largest fleet of vehicles in the country. We're last mile of delivery for all of the other carriers to get into some of these places because the infrastructure is already there.
So there's a review of Canada Post mandate that's underway till the end of this month. I actually went on the site this morning and it had sort of a question of the week, and it asked me, what I wanted from parcel delivery, which seemed like a, you know, very kind of conversational kind of question. So what does that process look like, and why is it there?
Well, the post office is supposed to have a mandate review every few years, and it did not happen at all over the last number of years under the Conservatives. So one of the platforms when the Liberals were campaigning to get in is that they would, you know, put a moratorium on the conversion to the community mailboxes, and that they would do a review of Canada Post. So they've honored their promise when they came in, and they've started this mandate review. And they're actually consulting Canadians to find out what they want out of the post office. Ultimately, the Canadians own the post office. We own the post office. And, you know, whether or not people want to maintain their door-to-door, how, you know, important parcel delivery is to you, or the flexibility to have delivery, you know, before certain times and after certain times, they have an opportunity to have their say now. So if you actually go to the website, they do have questions of the week, and you have up to 3,000 characters in which to put your response. You have until the end of July to make your submissions, and businesses also have an opportunity to put submissions in to say how, you know, the post office affects their business and what they would like to see in order to make their business more successful. And the deadline for them was also extended to the end of July. And then the task force is going to take all of the information right through the fall, go over everything, prepare a report that should be ready to go early next year.
Jennifer, how can people support postal workers at this time?
Well, you can write letters to your MP. You can write letters directly to the Prime Minister's office as well. There are templates out there, I believe, on our national website with, you know, information on how to format your letters. You can also, you know, there, we have on our national website these little signs that you can print out that say, you know, I heart my postie, and you can put those in your windows. We've seen around people putting little notes, little handwritten notes on their mailboxes saying that they support our struggle as well. And I know that the carriers that are out on the street are, you know, a little smile every time they see one of those, because they're fighting for everybody, and they want to ensure that, you know, everybody has the services that they deserve.
Well, I'm glad to hear those little signs. I put a little sticky outside my door to say that I support postal workers, and I got a nice little note back that said, you know, thanks for the support, Dave. So, so I'm glad you have those stickers, and maybe I'll put a big heart on mine.
Yeah, no, it's great, and they've been showing up on Twitter and on Facebook, the pictures that the carriers are taking as they're out on their routes, showing this, you know, this is what I saw today when I was out delivering. So the support's been overwhelming, and we appreciate it very much. And, you know, we want to negotiate a fair collective agreement, and we're glad that Canada Post is back at the table.
Well, thanks so much for talking with me this morning, Jennifer.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
I've been speaking with Jennifer Savage. She's the president of the Vancouver local of CUPW, the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. And Red Eye has a Facebook page at Red Eye Co-op Radio, and you can like us to get updates of what's coming up each week.